In 710 BC, the prophet Micah recorded for posterity the word of God as it was revealed to him. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah," said the Lord, "though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you one shall come forth for me to be ruler of Israel." And it came to pass that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and became a great teacher of the people. As he became more popular, he was frequently greeted by crowds. As the Son of God, he taught the way to eternal salvation and performed many miracles. All over the land were living testimonials to Jesus' powers to heal the sick. But there were those who were not pleased with Jesus' popularity. And as it neared the time for the Passover celebration in 30 AD, the chief priests and other Jewish officials gathered at the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, to find a way to capture Jesus and kill him, for they were deeply jealous and afraid. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples, and he went to the chief priests and officials and offered to betray Jesus to them. The Jewish leaders were delighted and agreed to pay him when the deed was accomplished. Judas consented and set about planning a way to deliver Jesus to them. When evening came on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus and his disciples gathered for the Passover meal. And Jesus took a loaf of bread, gave a blessing, then broke it and passed it to his disciples. "Take and eat," he said, "for this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples. "This is my blood of the covenant," he said, "which is to be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. And I tell you all, I will not drink this wine again until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." While they were still eating, Jesus reminded the disciples of the prophecy of David, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." The scripture will be fulfilled, he told them. The Son of Man will die. Following the Passover feast, Jesus and his disciples walked out to the Mount of Olives. As they walked, they came to a place called Gethsemane. "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death," Jesus told the disciples. Then he withdrew from them a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if this be your will that I must die, then let it be done." Jesus was in such agony as he prayed that an angel from heaven appeared before him and strengthened him. When Jesus finished praying, he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Waking them up, he told them that the hour had come. "Behold," he said, "the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, and let us be going. The one who betrays me is at hand." But while Jesus was still talking, Judas arrived with a multitude of men armed with swords and clubs. And on Judas' signal, the men took Jesus captive and led him to the home of the high priest. The chief priests and the council questioned Jesus severely and tried to obtain false testimony against him. But the many false witnesses sent forward could not agree on what crimes Jesus was supposed to have committed. Finally, two men stepped forward, claiming Jesus had stated he would destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. "How do you answer this?" the high priest asked Jesus. But Jesus remained silent. "At least, tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God," demanded the high priest. "Yes," Jesus responded, "I am the Son of God, and soon I shall sit with power at the right hand of God." "Blasphemy," expounded the high priest, and turned to the others. "What shall we do with him?" he asked. "He deserves death," they answered. When morning arrived, the chief priests and elders took Jesus to the governor, Pontius Pilate. "What crimes has this man committed?" Pilate asked them. But the chief priests answered only that Jesus was an evildoer. "Then take him and judge him yourselves," Pilate told them. But the chief priests persisted. "We want him crucified," they said, "and we need your approval." The governor then returned to the palace and sent for Jesus. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked them. "I am not an earthly king," responded Jesus. "But are you a king?" persisted Pilate. "Yes," Jesus replied, "I was born for that purpose, and I came to bring truth to the world." Upon hearing this, Pilate returned to the chief priests and announced that he could not find Jesus guilty of any crime. "I will punish him, therefore, and release him," he said. At the time of the Passover, it was the custom of the governor to release one prisoner to the people. Pilate gave the crowd a choice. Should he release Jesus to them or the notorious criminal Barabbas? Incited by the chief priests, the people answered, "Barabbas." Pilate was clearly surprised. "But what shall I do with Jesus?" he asked them. "Crucify him," cried the crowd. "What evil has he done?" asked Pilate. But the crowd shouted all the more for Jesus' crucifixion. When Pilate saw he was accomplishing nothing, he conceded and released Barabbas. Then he turned Jesus over to his soldiers for crucifixion. It was Friday morning in the year 30 AD. At Pilate's command, the Roman soldiers took Jesus into the palace barracks, where they placed a crown of thorns on his head and mocked and beat him. Then they led Jesus to a place called Golgotha. There, Jesus was crucified along with two common thieves. Even while he was on the cross, many of the people and the chief priests made fun of him and cast lots for his garments. Around noon, darkness fell over the land and lasted for 3 hours. As the light returned, Jesus raised his eyes and cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At the death of Jesus, the curtain in the Jewish temple was split in two, and a great earthquake occurred. Tombs burst open, and many righteous men and women who were buried there returned to life and went into the city of Jerusalem, where they were seen by the people. Many were greatly frightened by what they had seen. Even the Roman guards and their captain, who were responsible for Jesus' death, could find only one explanation for what they were seeing. "Truly, this man was the Son of God," they said. As it neared evening, there came a wealthy but righteous man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was a secret disciple of Jesus. He went to Pontius Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, for he wished to provide him a proper burial. Receiving Pilate's permission, Joseph and a man named Nicodemus worked together wrapping Jesus' body in a long linen cloth saturated with spices, as was the Jewish custom. Then they laid Jesus' body in Joseph's own new tomb hewn out of rock and rolled a large stone against the entrance. On Sunday morning, the third day of Jesus' death, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, went to Jesus' tomb, hoping to find some way to roll the large stone away and enter, for they wished to anoint Jesus' body with spices they had prepared. But when they arrived, they found the stone had already been moved away. Entering the tomb, they discovered Jesus was not there. Suddenly, an angel appeared in dazzling white garments. The women were terrified, but the angel sought to reassure them. "Do not be afraid," he told them, "for I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. But you will not find him here, for he has risen from the dead, as he promised. He has now gone before you to Galilee." The two women, filled with both fear and joy, ran from the tomb to report what they had seen. But before they found the disciples, Jesus suddenly appeared and stood before them. "Do not be afraid," he told the women, "but go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, for there they shall see me." When the women found the disciples and related to them the miraculous resurrection of Jesus, their story was met with disbelief. But later, as two of the men were walking along the road on the way to the village of Emmaus, not far from Jerusalem, Jesus approached them and walked with them. The men did not recognize Jesus, however, and continued discussing the recent events that had taken place. After they had traveled a short distance together, Jesus asked them what had taken place that had so excited them and the townspeople. "Why, don't you know," they said, "are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who is unaware of what has happened here in these days?" Then they related the story of Jesus and his crucifixion, and how the women had gone to the tomb early on the morning of the third day and found Jesus missing. When they had finished, Jesus turned to them. "How foolish you are," he chastised. For you have seen all this, and yet you do not believe what the prophets have spoken. Then he explained to them all of the prophecies concerning himself and the scriptures. As the men approached the village, they urged Jesus to stay with them, for it was approaching evening, and they were growing hungry. Jesus accepted, and that night, as they seated themselves at the table, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it. But as he began to pass it to the two of them, they suddenly realized who he was. And in that brief instant of recognition, Jesus vanished from before their very eyes. Within the hour, the two men, very excited and greatly confused by what had happened, quickly ran to Jerusalem, where they found Jesus' disciples and some others gathered together. As they began to tell him about the mysterious encounter, Jesus suddenly appeared before them, and holding out his hands, he showed them the marks of the nails and the wounds in his feet. Now convinced, the men accepted the resurrection of their beloved master. Jesus then began to teach the disciples about the scriptural prophecies of his birth, death, and resurrection, and how they must be fulfilled. "You have all seen the prophecies come true," he said, "and he who believes and turns to me will receive salvation and forgiveness of sins. Now I will send the Holy Spirit upon you, as my Father promised." Then Jesus led his disciples out on the road to Bethany, and lifting his hands toward heaven, he blessed them. And as the multitude watched in amazement, Jesus rose into the sky and disappeared into a cloud. Jesus lived a brief life and stirred great controversy everywhere he went. Ironically, he was despised most by the Jewish leaders, those who should have known better than anyone else that Jesus was the Son of God. For the Hebrew Scriptures clearly foretold almost every event that took place from Jesus' birth to his death and beyond. Today, 2,000 years later, no man has ever acquired a following as large as the man from Nazareth. And today, the Scriptures remain as a record of past events and a prophecy of our days to come.